You're welcome. If you want to take your bulletin in hand, and we'll just go through some of the items on here. And once again, we welcome Dave Hanig back today. He was here last week with Tom and Brenda being gone, and even had Sunday school this morning. Very good. Very good, Dave. I really enjoyed that. Once again, Wednesday, we'll not have Bible study until September. And here's one for everybody. Wednesday, August 2nd, at the Diamond Lake Shelter, this is a church-wide day of fishing, lunch, devotions, and fellowship. Boats will be available to go fishing at 7:30 in the morning. Wow. If you don't want to come out at 7:30, come when you can. Well, good. For more details, see L. Olson or Phil Carlson. It sounds interesting. I won't be around, but I mean, it sounds very interesting. And all day, you come when you want to, and fish aren't biting. You want to go home, or if you want to eat, or you do whatever you want to do, you can do throughout the day. Wednesday, August 2nd. Good. And then down at the bottom there, once again, we have Samaritan's Purse. We're going to be boxes. You can make up a shoebox full of items, and you bring them to the church, and then the church will take care of it from there on as far as the freight and so on, as far as going there. And I realize it's not until November when we have to have them in, but you can start any time. Just put it in the closet after you get it filled or whatever and bring it in at that time. Prayer request, Corey. He will have surgery on Tuesday. Wow. I hope and we pray here that everything goes well with that and give the doctors wisdom and direction in these things. And for Frida, and her heart continues. And Herman, that's Jan Nelson's brother-in-law with leukemia. Yeah, things, we're getting older. And, you know, the Word of God tells me that our life is in God's hand. It's day by day. And I'll just share this a little bit with you, but I think about this every once in a while. My parents, my dad was 72 when he passed away. My mother was 61 when she passed away. And now I'm 84. And my question is, how come? You know, why? And I don't know. But my prayer is that every day, Lord, what will you have me to do or be for you? And that is my really heart's desire. I want to see everybody saved. I want to see all my family saved. I want to see everybody saved.
Amen.
And,
amen.
So that's my desire.
Yeah. Al, that's God's desire too.
Well, yeah.
Amen.
Definitely. I realize that is that's scriptural.
Yeah.
That's in God's word.
Yeah.
That's definite.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Now I can't see. We're to pray for our church, the youth, of course. And now we're coming to the time of the year where the youth, they're going away to college and all the things that are out in the world to influence an individual. It's tremendous. They need our prayer, definitely. And even in schools, high schools and so on, there's a lot of peer pressure. I don't enter into that myself, but I hear about it. And parents at home, guide your children with God's word. That's it. And we'll pray for Tom and Brenda and Frida as they'll be traveling back to the great state of Minnesota this week. And Lucia and Paul, in Peru. Somebody said they were going to be there for about 3 months. So we will continue to pray for them. We're to pray for our country. our president. And God's word once again says we are to pray for the powers that be, that you may live a peaceful and quiet life. That's what God's word says. I was touched this last week. I seen a little film on some of the world situations during World War II, and the men that gave their lives, and they were told, on one particular instance, there's only two things. The sergeant says to his group, he says, there's only two classes of people here right now. He says, those who are alive and those who will be dead. I mean, it was that bad, and it was. We owe them so much for the freedom we have today in this world. So continue to pray for those powers that be, that we might be have a peaceful life upon this earth. Okay, with that, I'm going to call on Dan Scott to read scripture this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll be reading from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. That's Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 26. I'll be reading in the NIV version, and I will make note of one particular word that I purposely changed in the NIV version next to or secondary to Tom's tutelage, and I trust that Dave would agree with that as well when we go through this, but it's just one of those that just matches up a little bit closer to the King James version. But starting in verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came from Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of, and here's that word, propitiation, the perfect substitute for Christ, for us as sinners. Through faith in his blood, he did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for all that you are, all that you have been, and all that you are promised to be according to your word. We praise your name forever and ever for the great sacrifice that you made for us, dear Lord. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for paying the price on the cross and from raising from the dead, proving that what you did was justified and that it is truly through you and you alone that we are saved from our sins, Lord. I pray, dear Lord, that you would be with us as we gather here this morning. Help us to have open ears and mind to what Pastor Hannig will present to us. And I pray you would bless him as he's presenting your word to us, that it would sink in deep and change our lives in some way to become more like you and to give us the strength to go on and be good witnesses for you in our lives, Lord, wherever we are, wherever we work. I pray for those that are ill, Lord, and you know who those are, and people going through serious issues of their health. I pray you would guide them and give them that peace that passes all understanding that can only come from you, Lord. I pray for your guidance as we go through this morning, then. I pray your blessings, Lord, on us all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You may now greet one another.
All right, am I on? Can you hear? All right, good. All right. Well, it's good to be back here. We're going to continue where we left off last week. I'm not going to do an introduction on the importance of the Word of God like I did last week. I spent 15 minutes on how important the Word of God is. I trust that you understand that. Without the Word of God, we would not know what's going on. We wouldn't know why we're here. We wouldn't know where we came from. And we wouldn't know where we're going when we die. Now, because of the Word of God, we know the answer to all those things. I went to a seminar once down at the University of Minnesota, and Dr. Phil Johnson was speaking. Anybody know Phil Johnson? He's a creationist speaker. And he put on a seminar. Oh, I suppose he spoke for a couple, 2-3 hours, you know. You know, you don't travel 2,000 miles to speak for 20 minutes. And after he got done with the seminar, I went up to him and I said, Dr. Johnson, I said, you know, you've been speaking all day. I said, why is it important to know where we came from? And he looked at me and we had name tags, you know. He said, well, Dave, he said, that's the fundamental question of mankind. You answer that question and you answer everything. Isn't that interesting? He was a very logical, intelligent man, and he taught on creation, and the Bible tells us all that. Isn't it wonderful to know that we have the Bible? So we aren't going to go through that again today. So just quickly open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12, and then we'll see if we can get through them. I prepared 10 verses for Sunday school, and we got through one. So we'll see how this goes. I will be done by 11:30, so don't worry about that. Galatians chapter 1. Now, before we start Galatians, I shouldn't do this. It's almost like before we read the Word of God, I've got something important to say, you know, and that's goofy. But Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians are four books that you should know well. I was a pastor for 30-some years. And I emphasize to the people over and over again, make sure you know the General Electric Power Company. That's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. When I became a Christian, I couldn't remember the names of the Bible. And my wife told me, well, there's an easy way to remember Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Just remember it's the General Electric Power Company. GEPC, right? And now, how many people are familiar with the General Electric Power Company? Okay, all right. So I always tell our people, remember the General Electric Power Company, and you'll be in good shape. Now, that's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. So we're starting out here in Galatians. We can't study the whole book of Galatians today, but we'll give you a start, and you can go home and read, right? Jesus wants us to read. He wants us to read His Word so we get the right thoughts going through our mind. And if you've been alive long enough, you know that your mind is very, very important, what you're thinking. So Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. I'll read it, you follow along. I'm reading from NIV. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then he gets into the crux of his message. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you have accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Your word is truth, and by this truth, you sanctify your people. I pray, Father, that all here are trusting Christ as their Savior and Lord. And if there be any here who are just examining Christ, examining your word, and just want to know what's truth and what's right, we ask that your Holy Spirit would just do a mighty work from the outside in so that they might come to trust Christ as their Savior this day. Father, thank you for your word. It's a lamp to our feet, it's a light to our path, and it guides us through a dark and growing darker world. So, Father, we give you all the praise. We would pray now that as we study this passage, that your Holy Spirit speak to our spirit and let us know things that we need to know for your glory in the name of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, who you raised from the dead. We ask and pray. Amen. All right. First thing we want to take a look at is just a little reminder from last week. Last week we spent a few minutes on the fact that this message is from Paul, an apostle, and we've covered that, the importance of an apostle. We covered that in Sunday school as well, the importance of an apostle. The original 12 apostles are very, very important because they wrote this message down for us. Most of the New Testament was written by the apostles, and if it wasn't written by the apostles, I'm talking about Luke. Luke was an apostle, and Mark was an apostle. They were direct pupils of the apostles. Mark was a pupil of Peter, and of course he was with Paul a while. And Luke was the great investigator of Scripture. He wrote Acts. He wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he investigated greatly the whole message of Jesus Christ, and of course found out that it was true. So the first thing we saw here is that this message is from Paul the apostle. He was not sent from men. He was not sent by man, but he was sent by Jesus Christ. We looked up Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, and Acts chapter 26. In all those chapters, you'll find that God sent Paul. God sent Paul. I believe Paul's name is on the foundations of the New Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 21, verse 14. Now, when Ron Merriman was here, I said that to Ron Merriman. How many people remember Ron Merriman? Some of you do. I said that to Ron. He said, "No, no, no, Dave. Matthias's name is going to be on there." I said, "No, no, no, Ron. Paul's name is going to be on there." "No, no, no, Dave. Read Acts chapter 1. Matthias's name is going to be on there." And I said, "Ron, I don't know what it's going to take to convince you." But I said, "I tell you this, Ron, when we all get to heaven, let's you and I run out one day and look at the foundations of the New Jerusalem. And the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, Revelation 21, 14, says that, are on the foundations. And you'll see that you're wrong." And we laughed with each other and put our arms around each other and hugged each other, because when it comes right down to it, is whose name is on the foundation of the New Jerusalem, is that the most important thing? No. The most important thing is Jesus Christ, how he loved you and gave himself for you, and how God raised him from the dead. And we saw that last week as well. We saw the gospel in verses 1 through 4. God the Father raised him from the dead, Jesus Christ. And then in verse 4, we're told that the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Jesus came here, and he came here to rescue us. To rescue us. Rescue us from what? From sin. Sin is the problem. I just told a young guy over here, this guy right here, that I just drove in from New London. We live in New London now. And I drove in from New London down here, and I told him, and all the way in from New London, I coveted. I passed boat after boat, big, beautiful boats pulled by big, beautiful campers. And I told this young guy down here, all the way in, I sinned. And you might say, you sinned? Yeah. To covet, to want something someone else has, is a sin. Did you know that? You knew that, didn't you? And all the way in, I had asked the Lord to forgive me for wanting that boat. And, oh, look at that boat. And has anybody else ever done that? I don't know. But Jesus came to rescue us from the wages of sin. Aren't you glad? I get such a kick out of Sylvester Stallone and Liam Neeson and, one of my favorite, Chuck Norris. Walker, Texas Ranger. You know him, don't you? These guys are always on rescue missions. Have you ever noticed that? Somebody's in trouble, so they send Rambo. Somebody's in trouble, so they send Chuck Norris. And these guys go out and they rescue people. There's a new television program. I just happened to see it. I was at a house and they were advertising it. It's a new television program coming this fall where somebody gets kidnapped and they take them to the Mideast. And these four guys that they showed pictures of them, they're big, handsome brutes. They're going to go on this rescue mission. And people love to watch movies like that. Did you know that? People just love to see people get rescued. Jesus came, it says here, to rescue us. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? He came to rescue us. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. A ransom for many. You know what the word ransom means? It means to make a payment to get somebody out of trouble. And if you look up synonyms for ransom, the first synonym you'll find in the dictionary is rescue. It's rescue. So aren't you glad that you're rescued? Aren't you glad that you know that Sylvester Stallone and Chuck Norris and Liam Neeson, you know that that's not true, don't you? You know that that's just a movie. I'll tell you what's true. Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth to rescue you. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. So we studied that last week. We used different illustrations and everything, but we got through that. And now we're going to get down to verse 6. There's so much more you can say about the first five verses, but I want to get through the passage here today and we'll work on it. Paul the Apostle says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. And it's interesting here. People have asked me, can you turn from the one who called you by the grace of Christ? Can you turn away from Christ? Do you see the passage? Can you turn away? I'm reminded of Charles Templeton. How many people know who Charles Templeton is? Charles Templeton was a great evangelist in the 1940s and early 50s. He started at the same time Billy Graham started to be an evangelist. And people say that he was, for lack of a better word, he was better. He was a better evangelist than Billy Graham. He was a better preacher and a better this and a better that. And one day, Charles Templeton went to Africa to preach a crusade. And I can't remember where it was. I've read this in a book. And since then, I've looked up Charles Templeton as much as I can. And I've found that what I'm about to tell you is true. He went to Africa for a crusade. And where they were conducting the crusade in Africa, there was a drought. They always seem to have droughts over there. Have you noticed that? And Charles Templeton would preach at night, and then during the day he would drive around in the country in these Land Rovers or whatever they drove around in, and he saw all the people starving to death, all the people suffering. For lack, he says it this way, for lack of a rain cloud. If God would have just sent rain, they would have had a good way to live. And you know what Charles Templeton became? An atheist. He renounced God. He said there was no God. There couldn't be a God. And he turned away from the Christ he was preaching and became an atheist. A few years ago, we went down to the Minnesota seminar down in Minnesota, and Dinesh D'Souza was debating Dan Barker. Dan Barker. Dan Barker. Anybody know who Dan Barker is? Anybody know who Dinesh D'Souza is? All right, okay. Dinesh D'Souza is a Ravi Zacharias in disguise. He's an apologist. He defends the scripture and he defends God and he most of all defends the sacrificial sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And D'Souza was debating Barker. Barker was 21 years an evangelical pastor in a large evangelical church denomination. I would say the name of the denomination, but I know a lot of wonderful people in this denomination who are Christians, and I don't want you to get the wrong idea of that denomination, okay? Well, Barker was 21 years a Christian pastor and an evangelist, and Dan Barker's very gifted musically. Anybody here ever hear of Gospel Press? He writes music for them. They put out VBSs for kids in the summer. He writes their music. And he still writes it. Well, anyhow, Dan Barker was an atheist. He became an atheist. 21 years an evangelical pastor leading people to Christ, and he denounced Christ and became an atheist. And he told us why in the seminar he became an atheist. Do you know why he became an atheist? Because he married a woman who was a fourth generation atheist. Men, young men, you better investigate very, very closely who you marry. Solomon was told in the Old Testament, don't marry heathen women, right? Well, did he obey that one very well? No. He went out and married a bunch of Baal worshipers. And right now, today, I've gone to many, many Bible study, and the guys always like to ask in men's Bible study, do you think Solomon was really a believer? Do you think Solomon? Why do we doubt that? Because of what he did. Because of what he did. I don't know. I certainly hope he was. But Dan Barker, 21 years an evangelical pastor, became an atheist. Charles Templeton, 40 years a Christian evangelist, became an atheist. After we got done listening to Dan Barker, Ann was sitting here, I was sitting here, Joe, my son Joe, was sitting next to me, then Nikki and Paul were there. And we were all listening to this debate. One of Paul's heroes is Dinesh D'Souza. He writes some emails, and they email back and forth and stuff. It's interesting. And after he got done speaking, I stood up and I looked up at Joe, and Joe looked down at me and said, Dad, I don't think he's an atheist. I said, you don't? No, I think he just doesn't like God. He hates God. I don't think he's an atheist. And my wife, who was next to me, said to me, Dave, I don't believe he was ever a Christian. How can you be a Christian and say what he said about Jesus? He said that Jesus was a fraud, Jesus was a joke. It wasn't even true. Somebody made this all up. And then the atheist, Barker, criticized us for not bringing our Bibles. Come on, you good Christians here, he said. Where are your Bibles? You come to a Bible debate and don't bring your Bible? What kind of Christians are you? I brought my Bible. Look at it. It's big enough to choke a horse. You know, and he would turn to the Bible and read stuff and tell how stupid it was. Isn't that interesting? Paul the Apostle said, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Turning to a different gospel. One thing we learn from this passage, if you look at the whole passage overall, we learn this. There is a gospel. There is a gospel. The word gospel is, I can't pronounce it in Greek, but it means good tidings, good blessings. Yo angelizo. That's the way I see it in my phononical Greek book. Yo angelizo, and it means good news. There is, people, good news. And the good news is that your sins have been atoned for, paid for, propitiated, propitiate. Propitiation is a good word. Tom and I have talked about propitiation a lot. NIV uses atonement. And, you know, Tom says, you know, Dave, I think propitiation is a better word. And I agree with him. I say, yeah, propitiation is a good word. It means that there's been a sacrifice made, and it's a satisfying sacrifice. You break that down, isn't what it means. And there is a gospel. There is a gospel. Make sure you know the gospel. Make sure you know the gospel. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, we'll start with verse 1. This is important to know the gospel. I have talked to many a person who doesn't know the gospel. I have said to them, do you know the gospel? Oh, absolutely I know the gospel. Good, can you tell me the gospel? Absolutely. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I say to them, well, that's great. You know, you don't want to put them down big time. So I say to them, well, that's great. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John contain the gospel. The gospel is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not the gospel. And I shouldn't maybe say this, but I've talked to some pastors. I've asked pastors of big churches, what the gospel is. And you know what they say? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. To which I say, no. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John contain the gospel. But what is the gospel? And they don't know. They don't know. So make sure that you know what the gospel is. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we've got the gospel in a nutshell. In just a small, contained few words, we're given the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 1. Paul the apostle writes, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel. I want to bring to remembrance again the gospel to you. Now, we talked a little in Sunday school. Who could forget the gospel? How do you forget the gospel? That you need to be reminded of it. Well, I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of lots of things. I have on my wrist here a wristband, and it's got an arrow coming down and a cross and an empty tomb and an arrow going up and an arrow coming back down. That tells me that to remember that Christ came from heaven, he died on the cross for my sins, he was buried, he rose from the dead, ascended back into heaven, and he's coming back again. There's my reminder. And incidentally, it's kind of fun to wear stuff like this too. Every once in a while, somebody says, what does that mean on your wrist? Interesting, isn't it? I have a ring on here. It says, the ring says Jesus. Here's my gold ring, my wedding ring. And here's our 25th anniversary ring. And it says Jesus on it. One time I was down in North Carolina working. And working at a prison, we were putting up lights for Wilmer Electric. Long story, won't go into it. And we had a supervisor there by the name of Flowers. He played, some of you might remember this, he was a quarterback for the University of Wisconsin years ago. A kid by the name of Flowers. F-L-O-W-E-R-S. And he was our supervisor for the week that we were there. Well, about the third day that we were there, we had a lunch break, and this Flowers sits down next to me. He's the general, directs the work at the Wilmer Electric. He said, say, I noticed your ring. I said, you noticed my ring? Yeah, it says Jesus on it. I was wondering, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am. So am I, he said. I'm so glad that Jesus died. Well, anyhow, my dad's got cancer real bad, and he's not doing well. Would you pray for him? I said, sure. And we prayed right there. We prayed right there. Just from wearing a ring that you can hardly see. And we need to be reminded. Stuart Briscoe always used to say, I know you know these things, I just want to remind you. And we need to be reminded. How many people here remember everything you've been taught? Of course not. You need to be reminded. Paul the Apostle said, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. He wanted to remind them of the good news he preached. Notice that's what he was preaching, the gospel, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand. In other words, this is your position. This is where you stand. Martin Luther said, "Here I stand and I can do no other." Remember that? He stood on the Word of God. An easier illustration that you might all know is Custer's Last Stand. Remember that? Custer's Last Stand at the Little Bighorn? That was his position. And his position was wrong, of course. This position is right. You've taken your stand on the gospel. Now, verse 2. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. In other words, there's two ways to look at that. One, make sure that you believe this in your heart. Don't say that you believe it. I was just telling somebody before Sunday school that I grew up saying the rosary. Anybody else grew up saying the rosary here? Okay, some of you have. What's the first prayer in the rosary? The Apostles' Creed. Now, it's really a creed, but we were taught that it's a prayer. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. He rose from the dead on the third day, ascended into heaven. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. The Apostles' Creed. I said I believe that. Did you notice that? I believe in God, the Father, Almighty. And It's possible to say that you believe the gospel, but you're not holding firmly to it. You believe the gospel. It's like one of Ann's teachers in college. He was an English teacher, and he used to tell the kids in English class at Morehead State. This wasn't Concordia. This was Morehead State. He used to tell them, "Now you better believe in Jesus Christ," he said. Just in case it's right. Just in case he's right. People, is that firmly holding on to the gospel? No. That's not a firm hold on the gospel. That's a, well, we'll see what happens, you know. No, make sure you firmly hold on to the gospel. That's one position. Another position on it is, otherwise you have believed in vain. In other words, if the gospel isn't true, there's another interpretation of this verse. If the gospel isn't true, then you're believing in vain. And that would be correct, right? But the gospel was true. The gospel is true. Now Paul gets to the gospel, verses 3 and 4. You ready for the gospel? For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins. Stop right there. Our sins have been paid for. Propitiation has taken place in Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God made him who knew no sin, that was Jesus, to be sin, in order that we who are sinners might become the righteousness of God in Christ. People, Christ didn't die on the cross to give us a good example. Christ didn't die on the cross because it was a mistake. Christ died on the cross as a payment for our sin. The wages of sin is death, and guess who made the payment? Jesus did. Jesus made the payment. He died for our sins. 1 John 4:10 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiating sacrifice, the satisfying sacrifice for our sins." For our sins. He died for our sins. That's important that you understand that, because that's the problem. Our problem in the world today is sin. That's why I don't think Charles Templeton was saved. I really don't think he was. He just didn't understand that the problems of the world were sin, not the rain clouds. The problem in the world is sin. That's the problem. And sin has got to be paid for. And Christ made the payment. That's just the justice of God. So Christ, as what I received, I passed on to you. He received it from God. We just read that in Galatians. I passed on to you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Make sure that you understand that. One of my boys, Paul, has got just a tremendous grip and understanding of the gospel. He just does. He just does. And he was going out with a gal, 10 years ago. Let's see, now how old is he? Quick, how old is Paul? 41, right? 20 years ago, he was going out with a gal. And he tried to present the gospel to her as best he could, he said. And every illustration he could think of, he'd try to present the gospel to her. And he said she just didn't get it. He said, I'd tell her that, yeah, here's the deal. Christ died as a payment for our sin. We owed a debt that we couldn't pay, so he paid a debt that he didn't owe. He used every little cliche he could think of, you know. And when he'd get done presenting the gospel to her, he'd say, so here's what you need to do. You need to trust what Christ has done for you, never ever what you can do for God, but always and forever what God has done for you in Christ. Now, are you willing to trust Christ? She'd look at him and say, I'm better than you, Paul. I know you're better than I am. I'm not talking about us being good. I'm talking about what Christ has done. She said, I'm good enough to go to heaven on my own. You might need Christ, but I don't. And he said, she wouldn't get it. So one day, there was a crusade at the hockey arena at St. Cloud State. And he took this girl to hear this evangelist. He was a Billy Graham evangelist. I think it was, he's an associate of Billy Graham. I think it was Ralph Bell. Does that sound familiar? Anybody know? I guess it doesn't matter what his name was. But Paul said they went to this crusade. In fact, Paul asked if we'd come. So we came too, and here sat Annie and I and this girl and Paul. And this preacher preached for, an hour. He's pretty long-winded. Do you know that he never mentioned the gospel once? Not once. Our boy Paul left crying. Daddy, he didn't tell us about Jesus. I brought him here, this girl here, to hear the gospel, and he didn't say one word of the gospel. Dad, this was terrible. I said, I agree. He even looked at me and said, Dad, you could have done better than that. I said, all you had to do is stand up and read 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, and anybody could have done better than that. Isn't that something? Years ago, I went to a seminar, 1980 to be exact, a Lowell Lundstrom seminar put on at the Evangelical Free Church, and Lowell said this to us. Men, he said, you should never give a sermon where you don't give the gospel. Never, ever should you give a sermon where you don't tell people the good news that Christ died as a payment for their sin. Their sins have been atoned for. And God was satisfied with Christ's payment. He raised him from the dead. So make sure that you know the gospel. Paul the Apostle said in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 15, whether then it was I or they, talking about the other apostles, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. This is what we preach. Paul the Apostle said, I preach Christ, 1 Corinthians 1, and him crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, to the Gentiles foolishness, but unto us which are saved the power of God unto salvation. Make sure you know the gospel. Make sure you know the gospel so you're not fooled. This different gospel, verse 6, we're told in verse 7 it's no gospel at all. We're told in verse 7 it's a perverted gospel. The word perversion means to turn away from what is right and true. It's a perverted gospel. It's not true. It's perverted. It's like verse 8 and 9. Not only is it a perverting gospel and no gospel, but it's a condemning gospel. If we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than what we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching a gospel other than what you have accepted, let him be eternally condemned. It's a condemning gospel. It's a damning gospel. It's not a gospel at all. And then in verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. It's a man-pleasing gospel. I don't know why. I don't understand this, and I find myself saying that a lot. I don't understand why people don't like to hear that they're sinners. It's a wonderful thing to know that you're a sinner. You know why it's wonderful to know that you're a sinner? Because then you have a Savior. Then you have a Savior. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. In other words, Paul said, of all the sinners I know, I'm the worst. And what a wonderful thing it is to know that our sins have been atoned for. And I was reminded of that this morning driving in. I told you that already. Driving down the road, coveting. That, you know, that's Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not covet. There I was, driving down the road, coveting. And I thought to myself, thank you, Jesus, that I don't have to have that boat, that I don't have to have that to be important, because you died for me. I know I teach little kids, taught Awana for 20 years and Good News for another 15 years. And it's really something, teaching little kids, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth graders, that's what I teach, getting them to understand that they're a sinner. And every year I start out that way, and the third graders are always the worst because the fourth, fifth, and sixth graders know what's coming. I always say to them, how many of you kids here have never sinned? They put up their hands, you know, and the fourth, fifth, and sixth graders are going. Then they look at me like, tell them, Dave, tell them. So I go through the Ten Commandments. And I've said to him, how many of you here have ever lied? You've never lied. You've never lied. There's about four or five hands go up. Oh, the fourth, fifth, and sixth graders are just, can you believe that, Dave? You know, and we go through the Ten Commandments and we get to the end. And I said, how many of you here have ever seen a bicycle that you wish you had, but it belonged to your friend? And every one of them will go, I said, that's a sin. That's wanting something that belongs to someone else. Oh, well, yeah, they admit it then. I guess I'm a sinner, you know. I said, you need to know that, because Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus said in John 15, they hated me without a cause, and they will hate you too. Why? Because people don't like to hear that they don't have what it takes. When it comes to spirituality, they're bankrupt. They don't have it. They can't cut it. They can't make it. They need help. And that's Jesus. He came to rescue us from this evil world. Paul the Apostle finishes out with this. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that I made up, that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it by any man, of course. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ revealed it to him himself. Did Jesus Christ appear to Paul? Yes, on the road to Damascus, we're told exactly that he appeared to Paul. Paul went away and studied for years, and Paul, the apostle, was taken up to heaven. Did you know that? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he was taken up to heaven and then brought back down. And people have asked me, why did God take him up to heaven? Because God knew that Paul was really in for it. Paul was going to have to face more than any of us here have ever faced in a lifetime. And he had to be so sure And Paul came back and he preached it. He preached it. He preached it. What did he preach? That Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised the third day, according to the Scriptures. Jesus is the only way to God. He's the only way to God. So, there's the gospel. Now, I could go on in Galatians here. Paul writes in Galatians 2:21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. In other words, if you can stand under the cross and look up at Christ on the cross and say, thanks, but it's not enough, I got to add something to it, you're in trouble. You can't add anything to the gospel. It's Christ alone. Yeah, but I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't run around with people who do. Good. But that doesn't save you. If it did, then Christ died for nothing. He could have stayed up in heaven and yelled down, do a little better down there. Try a little harder. And it wouldn't have made any difference. Because sin needed to be paid for. And the wages of sin is what? Death. So Christ died as a payment for our sin. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. People have asked me, when we studied through Galatians years ago, it took us about a year to get through Galatians. Bob Haas especially would come up to me and ask, so Dave, are we supposed to keep the Ten Commandments or not? You know what my answer to him was? Go ahead and keep them, Bob, but don't rely on them to get you to heaven, to take away your sins. Rely on Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And then, when you get mad at me, don't murder me. It's one of the Ten Commandments, you know, thou shalt not kill. Ten Commandments are good, but they cannot produce righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son to be the propitiating sacrifice for our sins. You're satisfied with his payment. You raised him from the dead. It was impossible for the grave to keep him because he was the sacrifice that satisfied you. I pray, Father, that everyone here is trusting Christ, never ever what they can do for God, but always and forever what you have done for them when you sent your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you for the Bible, which tells us where we came from, what went wrong, what you did about it, and where we're going when we die. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.